This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and here is an exchange. I have to show Tess. Okay. This is me. Party tomorrow. Come by. And then my old hookup says.
Cool. Okay, if I bring my girlfriend, she doesn't know anything happened with us.
New phone. Who this? That was me. Okay. That didn't work.
No, it's a great joke.
It's in the drafts for a reason.
We're going on the drafts, you guys. I'm Brandy Posey, and everyone wearing a smoke mask looks like an unvaccinated Bane.
Oh.
I'm Tess Barker, and soup should be a breakfast food, and that's not even my most radical belief.
Wow.
I just had soup for brunch today.
Oh, great move.
Mm.
This is lady to lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Wow.
Welcome to the
what
show.
A wild opening. We're just getting loosey-goosey
like
with it, motherfuckers.
X's and soups, soups and X's. Here
we are.
You
know what would be really good for Brecky is pho.
Yeah, pho would be good.
That's a great
I gotta admit something, never want pho. Ever.
What?
Are you fucking kidding me?
I am not fucking kidding. I accidentally sent a guy a pho. I was like, is it pho time yet? And I was like, ooh, it sounds like I'm... I was like, it sounds like I was making a fuck pun.
But I mean, I feel like spelled out, you're probably okay.
No, yeah, well, I called it out because I was like, oh, it literally sounded like I was like, are we ready to pho or something? And then I was like, oh.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
Whatever, it's hard. It's the first syllable of fuck. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's anyway, I don't like it. But what's the best kind of breakfast soup?
Minestrone.
Oh, interesting.
So particular. With an egg in it?
No, but that would... I could. Could.
You can't think of an egg in soup?
Nope.
That's really? Not,
nope.
Oh, I like an egg
can't
in soup.
Brandy's a weird egg person.
I got
weird,
you are? I didn't know
I got that. Weird egg shit. I had a... I'll have a bad egg, and then I can't eat eggs for like 6 months.
Oh,
and I had
shit.
I had a breakfast sandwich the other day where the egg was cold in it, and I bit
don't
it.
Like cold egg either.
And then I vomited it into a napkin, and I can't eat eggs again for like 6 months. So I'm off eggs. That's why I got soup. I got pozole from a place up the street.
See, that's probably good. Pozole is a tomato base, right?
This was it was like a green. Verde, but it was good. Oh,
yeah, I mean, because you want something hot, but I don't always want oatmeal. I want something savory.
This had like cabbage in it, so it was like very. Ooh, it was really, really good.
Yeah.
Let's get some soup opinions from our
please.
He's sitting over there like, I have things to say.
He's got many podcasts, including the Purrcast and Popular Music Podcast.
See Jurassic Right.
Yeah, he's also a producer of My Favorite Murder, Stephen Ray Morris. Hi.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course.
I had a very embarrassing egg story.
Oh, no.
Oh, get into it.
Because
I just pulled my chair up.
Georgia Hartstark, one of the hosts of My Favorite Murder, she got one of those egg steamer things.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, ooh, I'm going to do that. It's not cooking.
Wait,
but like,
what is it? What is it?
Essentially, you just put uncooked eggs, and then it's like a little, like a tin hat over it, and then it just hard boils them.
Oh, okay.
Like, and it's all automatic and everything. And I was like doing that for such a long time, but you really do have to clean those things after a while, because then the eggs start to take on the flavor of like all the like tap water and stuff.
Brandy's dying.
I'm sorry, Brandy. I'm sorry.
Dying.
But yeah, I basically had one batch of eggs was like really weird tasting, and I just like, and I basically just put it up in my in the shelf and have never looked at it since. So.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Like, eggs are a finicky thing. Like, eggs are the kind of thing that you can't think too much about.
No.
Yeah.
You really can't.
Yes.
I think that's what happens to me. It's like, I could, like, yolks don't bother me. It's the white.
Yeah.
The white.
Mucousy.
It's very mucousy.
Yeah.
I feel like it gets cold too fast.
Yeah.
It just.
Do you ever microwave your eggs? I saw somebody do that in college, and I was like, what?
In college, I did all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it works, but I just never thought of it before.
I've become like too much of a hippie to own a microwave, but in college, I had the best recipe for microwave agent. And by recipe, what I did is I would put them in a mug, and then you mix in Taco Bell hot sauce. And you microwave. And
it just comes out. It's like scrambled.
It comes out scrambled. Yeah,
because it
comes
fluffy.
Yeah, it's fluff. They're super fluffy, and they take the shape of whatever you microwave them in. And then if you mix in the hot sauce, then the whole egg has the hot sauce in it. Yeah.
I'm too scared to attempt this as a 35-year-old woman, because I think that might be the end for me.
Good old Barbara microwaving eggs.
I just think it's like, I need to keep up the facade of using a pan.
Sure. Yeah.
Forget Crazy Cat Lady or any of those like things. It's like, putting eggs in a cup.
Yeah, microwave egg lady.
For sure.
I know, like, there's nothing crazy about being a cat lady. That's just a lady or a man or like, that's just like, cats are just for everyone. Yeah. But like, a microwave egg lady, that's a very, that gives me like a very
she's
specific
visual. She's standing in her front lawn talking to her neighbors, and she's not wearing underwear, and they can see it. I think that's what's happening.
Well, it's what's her name from that John Waters, Edith Massey in that John Waters movie. You ever seen which one is it?
I haven't seen. I don't think it's in. I've only seen Hairspray. He did that.
Me
right?
too.
Yeah.
Oh, Crybaby.
Oh yeah, I've seen
Crybaby is his. There's a woman that was in all of his early movies before she passed away, and it's her. Basically, the character is this woman who's just like in a crib and an adult woman, and an Eggman comes over and just gives her eggs, and it's her just being like, "Oh, the Eggman's here! It's the Eggman! Oh, Eggman!
Oh God! Oh God!"
And that is exactly why I've never seen any of the other John Waters movies. Like, that's what I'm picturing when people talk about John Waters movies.
Yeah, I mean, you're really not far off. Pink Flamingos. It's in Pink Flamingos.
Oh, Pink Flamingos. And I feel like I watched that in college. But
Pink Flamingos is a hell of a thing, though.
Isn't there like a scene where there's like a little person and there's like a curtain behind them?
That's Twin Peaks.
Yeah, that's Twin Peaks.
Well, I was going to say.
No, that's Mulholland. No, it's not Twin Peaks. That's a different David Lynch thing.
I mean, he
Blue Velvet.
Yeah. It also might be Blue Velvet.
Might also be.
Yeah, the same.
I always thought like John Waters was a more glam David Lynch anyway.
Totally.
Yes.
Same
for sure
surrealness
is.
And stuff like that.
Yeah. I love
that story where like John Waters was like hitchhiking and some people, some band or something like picked him up on the side of the road. This was like 5 years ago.
It was
very recently. And I was like, wow, that'd be cool.
Well, someone told me they're still hitchhiking in Oregon.
Yeah.
Blew my mind.
Anybody hitchhikes.
Yeah. I just saw a sign up there and they had a no thumbs up sign. Like, don't hitchhike around here. And it's, yeah.
Have you
my
guys
parents
ever
used to do it.
No.
Mine too.
Yeah. I've done it. Yeah. I got picked up by a cop. I was camping. It was like, oh my God. I was camping with friends and I don't remember where we were. It was when I still lived in Utah. But we walked down to the store and then we were like, I don't want to walk all the way back. So me and somebody, I don't know if this guy was dating or not, but we hitchhiked and a cop was like the first person to like stop.
Yeah.
And then we got in the back and he had a fucking teddy bear seat belted into his back seat.
Oh, that's not a cop.
That's a serial killer.
Fake cop.
Weird.
That's
experience.
A fake cop car.
No, they bring those. They bring those. I know why they have those teddy bears. Ugh. They bring them because when they show up to traumatic places where there's kids, they give the kid the teddy bear.
It seemed like it actually was.
I was like, I actually like know the one of the.
It was very. He was very nice, and it was nothing bad happened, but it was a weird.
But that's
experience.
Still like
yeah.
And I think he probably gave us some kind of like you shouldn't hitchhike.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be a cop.
I remember the first time I was like I had to fly out of Birmingham for some reason, and I had taken like the bus to. I dropped on my rental car, and I had like taken the bus to the airport, but the bus dropped you off like 3/4 of a mile from the airport, and you just had to walk the rest of the way because they stopped funding the shuttle to the airport. Oh. So I was like walking down this like highway to the airport with my bag. I remember this like truck driver. Or like a pickup truck pulled up, and he's like, "Do you want to ride to the airport?" And I was like, "Thank you, I appreciate what you have done. Know that I can say I have to say no. I can't get in your truck."
Also, like Stetson. It's like, are you bringing that truck to the air? How close can you get to the airport with that thing?
Well, you drive in and drop me off,
right? But I guess I'm imagining like
a pickup truck. Regular pickup truck. But and I was like. You've done your job as like being a chivalrous man, and it's my job to say no and keep myself safe. So we've both completed our half of this transaction. Thank you so much.
I think the only way I could say yes to that is if I was wearing a cowboy hat, and then when I jumped into the back, put my cowboy hat real low, and then lit up a cigarette.
Just Jackson Mania. Right?
Oh, I love that.
But have you guys hitchhiked?
I've never hitchhiked, but the airport thing, in college I was going to pick up my roommate at the airport, and then on the way to the airport I ran out of gas. Mm. So then I went to school in Santa Barbara, and so I ran out of gas at this beach where people would park and walk to class because it was cheaper than parking on campus.
Yeah.
So then my roommate basically had to walk from the airport like a mile or two away to my car where he waited with me to call AAA to get gas, then to go home. And he's like, this took way longer than just getting picked up at the airport.
You're like, well, you're welcome.
Yes.
You know, honestly.
Yeah. It's Santa Barbara. It's beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's fine. But it just was like, it was embarrassing.
Could have become a hitchhike situation quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love a situation where you fly and land and walk, actually. The San Jose airport, you can like walk to your hotel from that airport. There's a path along the river.
Oh, that's pretty.
Yeah, because after you've been on a flight, take a walk.
But I don't want to bring all my shit with me.
Yeah. I don't know.
I did was like, when I was flying out of the Long Beach airport, I was like doing that because I'd park like down the street and walk all the time. And then eventually I was like, all right, I'm past this. Let's figure out getting as close to the entrance as possible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so many airports are always so far. I mean, I'm even, because I'm flying to Chicago tomorrow, and it's like, it's probably, 30 minutes or 45 minutes outside the city or something?
Are you doing Midway or are you doing O'Hare?
I'm doing O'Hare.
Oh, okay.
Classic Home Alone situation.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm excited. Probably the decorations will probably be up already.
For sure.
Ooh,
it's going to be lovely.
I know. I was at the mall the other day, and they were doing it, and I was like, it's happening.
I was at the Americana when they were putting up the stuff. I'm like, oh, so special.
Is the tree up already? Hell yeah.
Which, I don't know if Brandy's getting in on this, but I might be at the photo station at Eagle Rock Park.
Oh, you're coming back for more?
Oh, I didn't get asked.
Well, she didn't ask me. She put up a thing, and then I asked her.
Oh, okay.
So
gotcha.
Does the Eagle Rock Plaza have a Christmas tree?
I don't think so. I've got Santa and some tiny trees, probably.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have to wear a mask this time, so that's all I care about.
Go ahead.
I saw them setting it up, at least.
Yeah.
At the Eagle Rock Plaza?
Or just the Eagle Rock Plaza is with the Target and the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just thinking the other day. Are you a top of the structure or are you underneath?
Top.
I'm top.
How about you?
Yeah,
I'm
top.
Yeah, we're all top.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm
you're a bottom.
Bottom. No. I park in the bottom, and what I do is I circle. There's a row that's right next to that ramp, and nobody ever parks right there. And you park there, and then you can take the ramp right back out. Dang. Never have to fight for spots there.
Yeah.
Oh, I should do that.
I guess I just like my Target autopilot. I like to come in right away and see like the beverages to the left.
But it's all different now.
Yeah, it's all different.
I was going to say.
They've totally
They've completely changed the layout of this Target.
They're trying to make it fancy. I was like, this is going to look like shit in 5 seconds.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm really anti the Target change.
It looks nice, but it just feels weird.
It feels very 2018.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard from Target insiders, and I have no idea what that means, but because people were like, I think when you walk into that Target, everyone's like, what the fuck? Especially when it was really under construction. Mm-hmm. And so then I don't know, maybe somebody worked there, but they were just like, oh, I think they're going to do that to every Target in LA.
Oh.
So we're just going to see a wave.
Target, sort of.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
tried to make it look very hip.
It was already perfect.
Yeah, it was great.
Don't mess with perfection.
They start playing music in that Target when we get so
they did.
Goddamn it. What? They're playing music?
Yeah. When I was there, they were playing music.
It's one of the best parts.
It was weird because I was like, I knew something was different. And I was like, what? Mm-mm. And I was like, oh, they're playing music.
No. I usually listen to a podcast while I Target.
Ooh.
I like a podcast while I Target.
I want to hear the sounds and
the smells
around me.
Yes.
I want to be fully enveloped.
Speaking of the sounds, I was checking out at the grocery store the other day, and like the guy in front of me, I was at Ralph's, and the guy in front of me said to the checker, he was like, doesn't it drive you crazy being in here, listening to ads all day long? And, like, the guy was like, I don't know. I've been here for 20 years. I guess I'm just used to it. And the other guy's like, that would drive me crazy. And I'm like,
dude,
wow, how nice. Way to just come up to a random stranger and be like, isn't your job a living nightmare?
Oh,
doesn't it drive you crazy?
I had a lift. So I was just up in the Bay Area doing a bunch of shows. I was, like, lifting, like, around the shows and stuff. And I had a lift passenger. This fucking woman got in my car at night. And she was just like, aren't you just always worried that you're going to get attacked?
Jesus Christ.
And I was like, actually, I've never.
Aren't you? You live in San Francisco.
Yeah. And I was like, actually, I've been doing this for 5 years, like off and on. And I've like actually never felt threatened by anybody in my life. And she like would not let me. She kept being like, but like, it's like men getting in your car. She like, couldn't let go. She could not handle the fact that I'd never felt threatened. And then she gave
me... Maybe it's planet Earth. We're all threatened.
Yeah, we're all threatened all the time. I might as well make some money while I'm feeling... And I like literally never have because I would murder anybody that touched me immediately. But like, it was just so crazy. And then she gave me a bad rating. Because I like wouldn't agree that I should be afraid that I was going to get fucking... It was
what
like
is
the most...
fear mongering shit too? Why make someone feel that way?
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
like the most like San Francisco lib bullshit
totally.
Of all time.
I'm going to show you how liberal I am by making you feel like shit.
Yeah, don't concern troll me, bitch. Get out of here. Oh, man.
Wow.
I was so mad. And then I saw my rating go down and I was like, I've had a 5.0 for a year and a half. Go fuck yourself. I know you.
She was just like... Took out a knife and rubbed it across your tongue and been like, I feel fine.
Oh, well, no.
I do like joke with people that I'm like surrounded by knives all the time. They're, right. You know, and I was like, oh, there's like four knives in this car. And I like said that as a joke to her at first. And then she like wouldn't let it go. And I was like, literally, I've never had a guy that has made me feel uncomfortable.
Also, if someone kept saying that to me, I'd be like, are you about to attack me or what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Ugh. I was just like, no, whatever, lady. It just, oh, man, it made me so fucking mad. Ugh. I was like, it's just, ugh, this is like class bullshit up there.
I would never get, like, there, you know, it's that, I realize my neighborhood, I live in a cul-de-sac, so a lot of times when the Lyft postmates or whatever comes to drop off food, and it's like, sometimes they like park kind of further end, and I'm like, oh, God, I got to walk, and then I'm like... Or, you know, something or like something's not right with it. And the moment I'm like thinking about like leaving a review, I'm like, yeah, but I'm complaining about literally having to walk like a few extra feet.
Yeah.
I'm the piece of shit. Like, I'm going to always give that person 5 stars.
Yeah,
me
it's
too.
So hard
always.
All the time. Like,
always.
Totally.
You know? Because also it doesn't cost anything to throw them the 5 stars.
Yeah. Like, it really doesn't.
This whole mentality, I think, you know, and obviously people do that with servers too, but this idea of like, oh, we get to decide.
Yeah.
I hate it.
We get to decide. It's like this weird ass power trip.
I'm worried about them when the apocalypse happens, those people.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Exactly. This apocalypse gets 1 star. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Apocalypse is a good band name.
Oh my God.
Side note, I'm sorry. This is cross reference from Britney's gram, but you just said cul-de-sac, and it reminded me that Britney posted a picture in front of a tree in a cul-de-sac.
By the way, it wasn't Santa Barbara.
It wasn't?
Nope.
Wow. Okay, that's what I was going to show it to Steven and see if you recognize
it. It was the Fairmont Santa Monica.
You don't not.
Whoa, where is it?
That it was the where?
It's the Fairmont Santa Monica, where actually our friend bartends.
That's
What's
a pretty tree.
It's where Bungalow Club is.
Oh, no. I've been there once before.
She posted a picture of a tree in a cul-de-sac, and you're like, what is this, girl?
That's so cute. I love her random photos. You're just like, it's a mystery of like what's happening here. I need
That's
to post more of those photos to Instagram, just like a fun nothing with no context.
But they're not fun if you're not famous.
That's true.
I apologize.
No, no.
Steven's a little bit famous. No.
Give us some dirt about
the
fangirls.
To be fair, you did
girls.
Text me about the Eagle Rock Target thing, which was very concerning.
Somebody in my stories was just like, I think I spotted Stephen Ray Morris at the Eagle Rock Target looking at Jurassic Park toys.
Oh my God.
And I texted him. I was like, you got spotted, bitch.
I'm just like.
You're so red.
I know. As my Christmas sweater. Yes. Well, no, because lately, and I mean, that's obviously, I should be very thankful that I get to work from home and all that stuff, but I feel like it has made me unnecessarily eccentric being home all day.
I feel like,
I get that.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I go outside and I'm just like in like basketball shorts and like a sweater and then like a weird hat. My hair is like, all, and it's just like, I look like a monster right now. Like, I shouldn't be out amongst the people, but I'm just like, I'm going to Target, you know? Like,
for sure.
It's so weird.
Yeah, you really, it's amazing how quickly you sort of like lose giving a fuck about other people when you're from home. And like, also, like Sean came home from work the other day and I was like doing ballet and jumping jacks. He's like, what the fuck is, I'm like, I have been alone drinking coffee and writing for 18 hours. Like, I have had no human contact all day.
This is what happens.
My issue is the opposite because I'm home all the time and then I'm like, I'm like, I'm really horny. I'm going to try to look hot and go out. So I will like try to like dress up and then look good and go do nothing. And I'm like, well, that was pointless. Why did I just do that? I put way too much time into going running this errand, you know, but this brings me to my big hoe moment.
Oh, great.
Oh, okay.
That I wrote about. So I was like doing a show at a house and they said it was going to be outside. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, I'll just wear. I know there's going to be some like cute guys there, but it's probably cold. So I'll like wear whatever, a lot of layers. So I wear this like sweater and pants. And then I get there and she's like, oh, it's inside because whatever. And I was like, fuck. And then there was like all these super hot guys there. And I was like, God damn it. I was really mad. So I went and I looked in my trunk because I have like clothes I need to drop off. And I was like, all right, what do we got?
Costume change. Good for
and
you.
I like, tried to find something to change.
Oh my God.
I couldn't find anything. So I like made the, I like basically tucked the sweater in and made it look tighter.
Like pinning down the front.
I did the show and I was like, what? I was like, this was very desperate. What was this? This was so stupid. Nothing happened. I don't know why. What the fuck? I haven't like had sex in 6 months and I'm going insane.
Yeah.
So I'm like really like shooting in all cylinders. But there was this like very young kid playing like, and I wrote a tweet about it, but he was like playing this like very trippy, like horny, like acid music. And yeah. I was like, I love this. This guy's hot. Yeah. And I like followed him on Instagram and then was like, hey, it was great. When he played.
I don't know if you noticed, but I was in a tight sweater.
And I was just like, when do you have any shows coming up? And he was like, oh, I don't know. I'm like going to play music, whatever. We like talked for a minute. And then he was like, I'll let you know when I have another show. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can talk more next time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, what can I write here that will make it very obvious that like what I want to happen? So I just wrote, I'd like that.
Nailed it.
Did you emoji afterwards?
No, and I was like dying. I was like, this is so embarrassing.
Oh my God.
And I had to like turn my phone off. Do you guys do that? I think I've talked about this before, but sometimes I'll send like an embarrassing text and I'll have to turn my phone off because I can't.
Get it. Yes.
Yeah. I can't like handle the response. I'm like, I can't think about that right now. Yes. I'll wait for like an hour.
Or I'll delete the whole thread on my phone so I don't have to look at it because I don't want to see that sitting in the inbox.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't handle like looking at their response right now. So I'll look at it in like an hour.
I totally do that.
Anytime I send the text to the wrong person.
Oh yeah.
I always delete the thing, and then I don't delete the response, but I just don't want to see that I sent the wrong.
Yeah. It's like you can sort of pretend like it never happened.
Yeah.
But anyway, he didn't respond tied like that. So.
Well.
It was like something about turning knobs or something. Like,
yeah, that would be good. You know? Get on your frequency. Yeah.
I mean, I should just be straightforward, but I also don't want to be. I don't know. You know, how creepy can you be?
You talked to him at the show?
Yeah. Because I had a good set. And then afterwards he was like, oh, is that you? Or like, because he heard me. I talked about his music on stage and I called it. I like said that's what it was. Mm. And he was like, that's exactly what I want people to think it is. Aww. Blah, blah, blah. Mm. And I was like, oh, yeah, it was great. And we just kind of like talked for a minute. And I was kind of like hoping to hang out and talk more. But he was whatever. In some weird commune house that I was like, what the fuck is this place?
Yeah.
They like sleep 12 people to a room and all this shit.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wait, was it like in Koreatown?
No.
Because I did a show recently at a
was it Upstart?
Commune type.
Yes. They have a few houses.
Whenever I do a show at one of those commune places, I feel like a mom going to visit her kid in the dorm.
So I felt very old.
Same.
They were all on beanbags. I was like, I feel old as fuck.
Yeah. It for sure made me feel old when I did one,
which
too.
Which I think it was not good.
But I kind of like it because it makes me want to be in a commune, but I know I can't anymore. But I'm like, how cute. I love it.
That's my thing. I always see like my old roommate from college, my really good buddy, Evan. He lives in a cool house and like Echo Park, and they like get together and watch movies on Sundays and stuff. And I'm like, this is great. And I'm like, wait, I know I would be the not fun roommate who would go home and close the door. So it's like, I like that idea, but I don't think I would.
Yeah, it looks really fun. They're all making stuff together all the time. And I'm like, I'm so past this, but it's so cute.
Yeah.
It's good to dip a toe in every once in a while.
Do you think like in the future there'd be rich people who would pay to like stay in those kind of places for a weekend?
I wouldn't pay past them because rich people love acting like poor people.
Yes, they'd absolutely.
That seems
do.
Like a Kramer idea.
Yeah, for sure.
See, we're trying to do that for a while with the communal tables. Mm-hmm. I hate those.
Fuck those.
Oh my god, fuck those.
Oh, like where everyone like
you go to like a nice restaurant. At a nice restaurant, I do not want to share a space with anyone except whoever I came with.
Yeah, no.
Even
go make
like
friends.
Sometimes Sean and I will go to like because we like to throw down at like a steakhouse every once in a while. And like if we're at a steakhouse,
close,
give us a booth.
Yeah.
I don't want to like share a situation with other people at a steakhouse.
Yeah. Brunch is always like so bad when that happens because like I'm not anywhere at brunch except to talk shit. And so
totally.
Yeah, you don't want people to hear you.
Yes.
Like three inches from my face also listening to
the conversation. And like if it's brunch and I'm talking shit, I'm drinking too, so I'm going to be really loud. So I need a radius.
Let's spread these tables out.
Well, and it's that thing. It's like, do they just think that we don't want to talk to the person we came with? So here's some new friends. It's like, no, I actually want to have.
Maximizing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Space and time.
Spread it all out.
That was like, again, in yoga. I don't forget if I've talked about how much I hate partnering up in yoga.
Yeah,
but our teacher the other day was like, "Well, I had an idea. I thought at the end of class we could partner up. It's really nice in these trying times to feel like another human being's hand. And she was like, does anyone not like partnering up? And I was the only person who raised my hand.
You're the only person that was honest.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Those other cowards.
And then there's like a certain amount of people where there's just one other person who wasn't partnered up who's just staring at you sadly.
But I feel like it really hurt her feelings, because if it had been like 10 of us, I think she would have just canceled it. But me, I was just...
fuck her. It's good she asked. For a reason.
Yeah. No, fuck that shit.
We have to take a break, but everybody find a partner and center yourself, and we'll be right back.
Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're Stephen Ray Morris. Have you always been a three-namer?
I think since somebody on MySpace told me that Stephen Ray Morris sounds like a jazz performer. Oh. And I was like, all right, forget Stephen Morris.
And you were like flute player and you floated away.
Yes. No, that's exactly. Well, no, I was thinking about my MySpace, like my last MySpace, like when you had your name before I stopped it. And it was like some Imogene Heap lyrics or something like that. And it was
just awesome.
I was like, I mean, at the same time, I'm somebody who it's frustrating now when you're like, trying to find somebody online and it's not their real name. Mm-hmm. But I kind of like miss that creativity a little bit too.
Yeah, for sure. That is like the fun thing about Twitter. You can kind of like fuck with a different name or whatever.
But it is like annoying because their search function is terrible. So you know.
It should be better.
And then it kind of surprises me. I'm like, how the fuck do I know so many people's handles? It's like gross that I remember this.
Yeah. Or you meet somebody and you've only kind of known them online for their handle.
You're like, that's okay, funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh man, I will say, I don't know if I probably talked about this. Oh, maybe. When I went to this Beastie Boys thing, seeing people I'd known from like the internet Beastie Boys, whatever community from like 15 years ago, people who I'd like forgot were alive. And I was like, hi. And it was just like really creepy because it was those people you like knew as a screen name. And I was this is fucking weird. I don't want to do this. Okay. So before we get into this, I've got a good story.
Because you know, like, how much I appreciate pranks, hijinks, all this stuff. I'm so proud of Barbara. This is honestly knocked it out of the fucking park, knocked it out of Dodger Stadium and up to San Francisco.
Very excited.
So I'll set the scene and then you can take it away. Okay. So we're at Barbara's house and we're doing a clothing exchange. We're all just drinking and kind of having snacks and stuff. And Barbara gets an idea.
Yeah. So somebody brought some home goods or, you know, stuff and the rose petals, like dried rose petals. And so I was like, oh, ma'am, I'm going to put these, my roommate Ryan, I was like, I'm going to put these in a heart on Ryan's bed, you know,
just with
like,
the blowjob candy.
Yes. So, and so Whitney had brought like, Whitney didn't want her oral BJ blast candy, which was, it's basically Pop Rocks for your dick, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. Some novelty.
How would that be?
I don't know. I actually, I was like, someone needs to try this, but so she got it for her bachelorette party. So like a novelty thing. How many calories are in it?
15.
69.
69 calories.
Oh,
yes. Hell yeah.
Like
hell yeah.
A food scientist like making sure that that's 69.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure they're not, but whatever. Yeah. So I put a big heart on his bed and I put the BJ Blast right in the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it
we're
like... It looks, like, great. It looks like when you go somewhere for your honeymoon.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Because we all know on your honeymoon is the BJ Blast.
That's when you if not then when?
Totally. So we're all just like, it's funny, whatever, you know, and... I don't see him all day.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, I haven't like, usually he would have come home by now. Yeah. I haven't seen him. I'm like waiting for him to like find it. And then it's like, I'm asleep. It's 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And I hear like someone downstairs. I was like, oh, he's like, you know, with a friend. Uh-huh. I think the friend leaves and I hear him come upstairs with a girl.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I hear them walking to his room and find it. And this guy, he hasn't brought home a girl in 6 months.
Oh,
like, never does this happen ever. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I hear him be like, what the? And she's like, she starts laughing and he's like, yeah. He's like, I planned this. I called ahead. So he starts like, oh, it was so fucking funny and perfect. And like, I just couldn't believe the odds of him coming home.
That's
that
even
night.
Better.
It was so great. I mean, I felt bad because also it was like crusty, like dried petals. I heard he was like, let me clean this off. And it was just like silence while he cleaned it off.
And did he confront you about it?
No, he was, he's so funny. He didn't care.
But what was like the discussion that like...
He texted us at that moment. He was like, the one time I bring someone home in like months and you guys do this road. And I heard him be like, this was Barbara. This is definitely Barbara. Oh, it was so great.
And like, I'm just picturing you like shifty eyes in your bed. Like
I was dying laughing. Like I was just sitting there like, oh wow.
That rules, high-fiving Archie.
Yeah. I was like, yes. And like, I don't wake up very easily too. So like the fact that I woke up and heard them.
That's
was
so
crazy.
Funny.
Yeah, three in the morning too.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I actually really thankfully did because I had to wake up early and didn't set an alarm, so I was like really happy. But it was so fucking funny. I'll show you guys. I'll post the picture of it on. But man,
so good.
It was pretty dope.
Good ass prank.
Best unintentional prank. I mean, prank. But then
yeah,
that's a like, fun prank though.
Right?
You know?
Isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that rules. That's
oh,
really
how sweet.
Funny.
That's so romantic.
Do you imagine just like this guy you just met tonight, you come over to his house and
that's what you come home
and
to.
And it'd be enough with the roses, but the BJ blast. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. If I came
over
home with this, I would probably have done this. If I was this girl, I would have been like, all right.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, it's here.
It's BJ blast.
Yeah.
I wonder if she thinks that maybe this house is like a prank house that you're always,
yeah, you've
everyone
said
in the house.
I live on the show. Yeah. I'm one of the Impractical Jokers.
Yeah.
Sorry, hey, you come over here, you're gonna get fucked and pranked.
Fucked and pranked. That's Barbara's new show.
Prank fuckers. Yes.
Make
what if
fucking
it's like,
you for real or
it's
as
like
a
truth
prank?
Or dare, but it's prank or fuck. You have to choose if you want to fuck or prank.
Oh, God.
Well, I think we know what most people are going to choose.
Well, it depends who you're going to fuck, though.
Yeah.
Wait, so you ask them first if they want to be pranked
or
fuck?
No, okay, I think you, I'm just, I'm making this up as I go, but okay, I think you meet the person and you decide, you have to decide over the course of some games whether you want to prank them or fuck them.
Oh, it's I like, think that's most dates anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much most of my life.
Yeah. By the way, have you guys ever seen the show Baggage?
Uh-uh.
No.
Oh, my God, it's on.
Yeah, my old boss who I worked with at Solitary made that show up.
Really?
Yeah.
It is. It kind of reminds me of Cheaters.
Yeah. They.
It's really
what
good.
Is it exactly?
So it's like Deal or No Deal, but it's it's all pieces of shit. And like one piece of shit comes on that's looking to date another piece of shit. So then the
great.
That's already the beginning of a good reality show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so each contestant, like Deal or No Deal, they have a suitcase, but hidden in each suitcase is baggage. And so they all have like the first one they open is supposed to be their like smallest piece of baggage. And then you
So
choose...
it's something like I don't wear deodorant or something like that.
Yeah, or like I have like 13 cats or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And then it gets worse and worse. And so you kick them off based on their baggage each round until you're down with the person that has the same amount of baggage, but then the contestant also has baggage that is revealed right before the end.
Oh my God.
It's so good, you guys.
I like that idea. Flipping it right at the end.
Yeah.
I do think this is how dating apps should be. You should write all the bad things about you.
Yeah.
And then just like go from there.
Yeah.
Let's get those out of the way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best time to reveal, I think. Sometimes it's almost like if you put that stuff up front when you start dating with somebody, it's like, because then that's the best time when you have the easiest out, too.
That's true.
And people are
if you're going to judge me for this, I might as well say it now.
Yeah, and I think people are also, on both sides, they're understanding, like, hey, there's this thing about me, like, I totally get it if you don't want to, like, deal with that or whatever. And I always feel like that kind of stuff, too, is... in some ways can always make a relationship get more serious right away too. Like,
for sure. Yeah.
Like if somebody's going through something intense, whether it's like, I had an ex who's like an older, like a grandparent died, like pretty much like 6 months into us dating. And that obviously like brought us a little bit closer and stuff.
You're like, I'm out.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's always the thing, right? You're like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people.
Yeah. No, I mean, Sean got cancer after we've been on dating for 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was like, I mean, definitely, I think, yeah, it can either, I definitely think it makes you obviously bond going through cancer.
That's what, but I'm not thinking of stuff like that as baggage.
No,
like,
cancer isn't baggage.
13 cats.
Yeah, 13 cats.
Just imagine a fucking suitcase that's just like dead mom shrug emoji.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, what are some other stuff that they had on the show?
This one, it was honestly, they had the baggage prioritized improperly, I think, because the first one was I don't wear deodorant. I'm going through the winner. That's fine. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
But then the second one was I've kissed more girls than boys. Whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And then the third biggest piece of baggage was I make my boyfriends go to gay bars with me. I was like, how is that? That's not even baggage.
Yeah.
Baggage.
So she wins. And then the guy who, the contestant, his baggage was he owns a strip club. And she was like, no.
I'm out.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So they can decide if they want to bail.
Yeah. So if you don't want his baggage or her baggage,
Yeah, I know the guy who made that show, and I'm like, man, I should, because you know, you always come up with random like and shitty reality shows. I was like, I should pitch some shit to him.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's pretty funny.
You know the baggage guy.
I know the baggage guy. No big deal. All right, let's play some. Would you rather Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Or dinosaur, whatever.
Dinosaur edition.
Edition.
Meow, meow.
Okay.
Steven's wearing his Jurassic Park Christmas sweater.
One of probably
legit?
Several.
That's great.
That
I survived the holidays. Universal Studios
really
Hollywood.
Good.
Doing a little Christmas. Somebody sent this to me. It's nice.
Really good.
It's beautiful.
It's a little too hot to wear right now. But
yeah. How many Jurassic Park shirts do you think you have?
I think now I'm definitely up to probably one every day.
Nice.
Wow.
I think I have three.
I think in the past, I definitely didn't have stuff, but I think now it's all right, I'm just going to lean into this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And people know it's your thing, and then they buy you more.
It's been very nice. Same thing. It's now I feel like I have enough cat shirts to last me a week.
For sure.
But yeah. It's nice.
Did you see that Jeff Goldblum's jazz band has merch now?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has two t-shirts out that are for the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. Yeah, he's got an album coming out soon.
Yeah,
I'm very excited about it. His Instagram's been on fire lately.
I went finally about a year ago.
Yes.
I was so happy. But I was also so drunk that I don't remember our interaction. But I'm like, I feel like I kind of got what I needed.
About on par with.
Yeah, for sure.
What's going on there?
Yeah, it was one of those things where it's like, I'm always very nervous to meet people, especially I'm somebody, it's like, if I'm working with them, then I can be a little bit, because I'm like, oh, well, I'm supposed to be here too, rather than I just like your thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that was, since I was so drunk, I was like, I walked away and I was like, I think I got what I needed out of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to turn if somebody filmed it and look back, because it's probably just like, you're so great, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But in my memory, it felt like it was a good interaction.
When me and my friend went, he whispered into her ear, I want you very, very badly.
Oh my what a God. Gift. What
Which
a fucking
was like,
gift.
I have a picture of her when he's saying it. It's
what
so
a gift.
Great.
I'm worried, because I bet if I went, because I'm deaf in my right ear, he might choose my wrong ear. Oh. And then I would just miss it. It would just go into the ether.
You know what, though? If you said say it in this ear, he would do it.
Yeah, he would be like, oh, you're deaf in that one. Oh, I was speaking to your
No, but I don't
want to
have to say, you know. Yeah. That's the most annoying thing about being half deaf is eventually I'm like, no, tell me in this ear. But it's the people lean in and tell you insignificant things that you don't want to have to make a big deal about.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
But
no,
Jeff
I'm so
Goldblum,
sorry. This
that
year,
wouldn't be
like,
insignificant, though.
No,
you have to make sure you
No, absolutely. Maybe I should get a dangly earring that says use this ear.
Oh,
that'd be good.
A big arrow coming out pointing to it. That's pretty good.
I mean, this summer I lost hearing in my left ear for a few months or a month and a half or whatever. So it's a very surreal experience. I'm sure it's very different when... the whole time, but it was.
But you
very,
get it, yeah.
If just for a hot minute,
yeah.
It was that thing of can you move here? Can't even imagine what it's like to do that all the time.
Constantly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or I'll first meet someone, and if I'm walking on a street with them, I'm like, I have to be on the right side. And they're like, why does this chick keep veering to the right? And it's like, I really don't feel like explaining it, but I can tell. You just think I'm weird. And it also makes sometimes people if you turn, it's like, I'm not trying to kiss you. I just can't hear anything.
Wow.
Just trying to hear you.
That's getting fresh.
Okay.
Dinosaur questions.
Let's see. Would you rather be chased by one T-Rex or two Velociraptors? I think I know the answer to this.
I mean, I'd rather get chased by a T-Rex just because it's a big dinosaur and you can hide, whereas Velociraptors are...
Very smart.
They're very smart, and they, and then they'd tear you up like two dinosaurs tearing you apart sounds more terrifying than just I'll
think you have a better chance with the T-Rex probably
tiny
now,
arms
are T-Rexes not also smart though
they're not as smart as a Velociraptor.
They're smart, less smart and slower
and they don't see you if you don't move either if you can stand there
now and people are doing reconstructions and it's because everybody all the dinosaurs or a lot of those kind of dinosaurs have feathers now so it's I love when people draw just the T-Rex as a giant chicken basically
just
really
know.
Cute
that's
adorable.
Does make him way scarier to me a chicken that can kill you.
It's true. Turkeys are pretty scary.
Oh, absolutely.
God. Yeah, their little faces.
Well, and
demonized.
How about geese with their teeth?
Yeah. Man, geese
I think you guys are more scared of geese than T-Rex.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
no, peck my shins out.
I'm afraid of T-Rex.
Yeah. Also afraid of a T-Rex for sure. The death that affected me the most in the Jurassic Park movies is when Muldoon dies, because I feel like he's the game warden that gets killed. Clever girl, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
And because I feel like he's the one that dies that like respected them the whole time.
Yeah.
And it really bummed me out. I was like, he was just doing a good job.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I always feel in those movies, it's always the people in some ways who have like the most respect are the ones that like get eaten. Because it's just sort of like dinosaurs don't care.
I know. That's the one you're like, oh shit, anything can happen.
But was
like,
it Grizzly Man? You dressed as Jimmy Buffett from?
Yes. Yeah.
Not
the newest one, but the first one when it came back.
Yeah, that was great. That's a great fucking costume.
Wait, Jimmy Buffett is in.
He has a cameo.
Yeah.
Because Frank Marshall, the producer of all those movies, is friends with Jimmy Buffett and also produces the Jimmy Buffett musical, Margaritaville.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yes. Like on Broadway?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's on Broadway. That might be a little bit strong to say it's on Broadway. So he produces, he basically does, those are like his two big things, Frank Marshall. And so he's friends with Jimmy Buffett. So Jimmy Buffett always has cameos in Frank Marshall like produced movies. And so in Jurassic World, as the dinosaurs are attacking, he's holding two margaritas and like ducking for cover. And they actually have Margaritaville at Jurassic World. So if that was real place, like you would go to Margaritaville, which makes sense because, you know, it's like any theme park has like sponsored restaurants and stuff like that.
For sure.
It's like City Walk.
By the way, if you find yourself at Jurassic World, don't go to Margaritaville.
Yeah.
No. That place fucking blows.
And I say that as someone who likes chains and margaritas.
When we went for the first time for Magic Mike, we got the $5 margaritas and it was like disgusting.
I would have paid $10 not to drink it.
Yeah.
It honestly.
Was nasty.
So I'll show everybody the page to escape to MargaritavilleMusical.com.
Oh my God.
Escape to Margaritaville, more than a musical, it's a way of life.
Jesus Christ. Check out these hit songs from the show and get a license to chill. Fuck you, Jimmy Buffett. You are one of the luckiest motherfuckers in the world. God damn it.
I don't know enough about Jimmy Buffett. Is Finn's an actual... Are any of these like songs that are not Jimmy Buffett songs?
Don't play them. I can't handle
them. No, I know. I'm not going to.
It's funny. I feel like because I've passed Universal Studios, so I kind of just go to Margaritaville because it's there rather than like Hard Rock or something. Mm-hmm. But it's that thing that Margaritaville is probably the worst Margaritaville, like because people have told me about the one in Vegas or the like
in
Florida.
That's the one we went to, and it's bad.
We hated the Vegas.
Oh, really?
One.
Yeah. I mean, at least that it has. Like,
oh, the
stuff
inside.
Oh, yeah. As far as like stuff to look at.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you don't like Hard Rock? I can get down with Hard Rock.
I think it's almost just to like. Complete the picture. It's like I'm there for Jurassic Park stuff. And
oh, I see. You went to all quarterly. Okay.
But, you know, they have videos of all the band and stuff playing. I'm like, it must be so enjoyable to be like a backup singer or like the like shaker person in Jimmy Buffett's band. Because it's like 20 people and it just seems like a good time.
Yeah.
And they probably just pay for the, you know, everything. Like, I doubt anybody in Jimmy Buffett's band is like, they have to put themselves up in a hotel when they're on tour or something like that.
No. Yeah.
This was on Broadway, by the way.
Oh, it was on Broadway.
God. Yeah. This is the original Broadway cast. This is like what I think most musicals look like.
Yeah,
I mean, that's probably, I mean, because honestly, they have to get dads to Broadway somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably how they, like, the mom's like, we're just going to see a show. And then the dad's like, fine, but it's going to be Margaritaville.
All right. As long as I can wear my shorts.
Yeah. Okay, this is a good one. Would you rather live in a world where dinosaurs are not extinct or every horror movie monster is real?
Oh, well, dinosaurs for sure. Because not every dinosaur wants to eat you.
Yeah,
that's true.
Whereas, like, every horror monster has to go out and kill you.
For sure.
Like, it's their only purpose.
I guess that's true, huh? Is there any without that?
Well, and I think if horror movie monsters are real, that also means that, like...
You mean zombies are real?
Zombies are real. The devil is, like, a thing, you know?
Yeah, your friends are getting possessed and throwing up on you all the time.
Yeah, supernatural shit is going on all over the place. Yeah.
Dinosaurs for sure. I mean, I would
for sure.
I want to see dinosaurs anyway, so that's kind of a no-brainer.
I mean, I guess did originally just think like, but I would be dead, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Would we have them corralled? Would it be a Jurassic situation?
Yeah.
I'm picturing them kind of free for all.
I am too.
Yeah.
It would be
and it would be like unforged, like if you were on a hike and you came across a dinosaur, just you know.
I guess we kind of do have them. We have tigers and shit.
Yeah. We have mountain lions and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean. You know, that's why I think it's so crazy to see crocodiles, because to me that's like such dinosaurs.
Yeah. So close to one,
When people talk about like living in Florida and like being like, there's a croc in my pool or whatever, it's just
oh my God, fuck that shit.
Totally.
Yeah.
Good.
I know. I saw a raccoon like run across the street last night. And yes. It's like, what if that was like, what if that was a little dinosaur? I'm just used to it. I'm like, all right.
I love seeing a raccoon just like getting his grift on. It makes me laugh so much. I would love it if dinosaurs were real, because I think also they would keep people in check way more, because like they'd be so
we'd have
big.
A bigger threat.
Yeah, we'd have like more. We wouldn't be so much at the top of the food chain. That I think like we wouldn't have let all of our bullshit run quite as amok as it currently has.
That is true.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel like they would. Unfortunately, we would be really shitty to dinosaurs too.
Because they figure out the way to fuck it up.
Because we're shitty to sharks, and sharks are dinosaurs. Yeah. Like we're shitty. We have dinosaurs, and we don't appreciate them.
I just think one banker gets eaten by one T-Rex.
That would be nice. Yeah.
The world would be a better
place. One a week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll, in every Jurassic Park movie, we try to control them, and they always win. So I feel like if there were more of them,
right,
we would be like, oh shit, the real threat. Is maybe not us.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm a pessimist. I don't know if dinosaurs could really stand up to technology.
Maybe. Depends on how many, probably, but you're right. Well, I guess they've done that to all the other fucking animals. Yeah.
I guess I'm equating it to, like, when I think about technology and shit, it's like, we are doing so much, but, like, the fires have just devastated our state. Like, a force of nature will always be more powerful, I think, than, like, technology.
Yeah. You think so, but also, like, elephants have been getting fucked forever.
Living things we've been pretty good at killing.
Yeah, I know, but, like, elephants aren't, like, predators or anything like that.
Right. I'm just thinking about sharks and how there's shark soup and everyone's so mean to sharks just because of the fucking movie Jaws. Don't even get me started.
I mean, I think if sharks were on land, if we had land sharks would fuck us up pretty hard, I think.
Oof. Yeah. Maybe so.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe so.
Well, I would like a check on people.
I think it would be great if there was something bigger than us that was threatening people that was not human. Because hopefully people would be better.
Well, that's almost like those like legends of like monsters in the woods or like those kind of things where it's like, you know, it keeps kids fearful, like the fairy tales, like don't go to the woods or whatever.
Cryptids and stuff. Yeah, for sure.
It's like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys have like a scary legend in your town?
The LDS church.
Walt Disney.
We had this one house that like, it was down this, next to this park that it was like a brick, just like, rectangular house that always had candles in every window. Ooh. And it was on a long driveway and you could see it from the road, and like we were always told that it was like a halfway house that like, and this is not correct, but like murderers lived there when they got out of prison. It was like
they love to say that shit.
Yeah, and it was like I remember one time just like driving past it with a bunch of my friends in the car, and I just drove down the driveway, and everybody freaked the fuck out. They're like, "Why are you driving down the driveway to the murderer's house?" And I was like, "Oh shit, it was sorry, guys."
And then it just turned out it was like the old man from Home Alone.
Sweeping
his driveway.
No, it's exactly that.
Yeah,
it's just like a bunch of people living in a house together. That's all it was.
Picked to live in a house. For
All right. Jersey has like the Jersey Devil and stuff like that. And Philly, when I lived in Philly, we'd go do weird New Jersey shit all the time, which was like going to the Pine Barrens is like where there's like the Jersey Devil, like there's supposed to be chupacabras up there and stuff.
Ooh.
And you just go in search of them because it's like swampy, sandy. There's like, you can't build there. So they just have like lots of, like lots of wild, unpopulated areas in New Jersey. And then there's a lot of stories about shit going on back there.
Creeping.
Yeah, very spooky.
Yeah, that's pretty good. We didn't really have anything. We had, I mean, what is now Cal State Channel Islands is an old mental institution. Mm-hmm. And it's like out on this like kind of spooky ranch area. And we used to party in this place called the Scary Dairy, which was as advertised. It was like this old abandoned dairy.
Haunted milk.
There was just fucking ghost milk everywhere. But it was like out by the old abandoned mental institution. And like the architecture of that place is like this old 20s kind of like romantic, cool, spooky architecture. And then the dairy was just terrifying. It was like this nasty like crumbling wooden structure, and like the legend was somebody from the mental institution had hung themselves there. That was a scary dairy.
New Jersey's got a bunch of abandoned mental institutions too. You just go and you'd walk around and be like, oh, there's a classroom with, like a bunch of like dusty like chairs and shit all over the place. There's also a bridge that you could drive over, and if you drove over it, supposedly the story was like a little ghost boy that had drowned in the water underneath would throw a nickel up and like try to hit your car. So you'd just be like, oh, is that the nickel hitting my car? You just like hear noises and freak out. You're supposed to drive over with your lights off So you're like in pitch darkness driving over this bridge.
You guys know I couldn't do the... Oh, wait, sorry. did I tell you what? I couldn't finish the ghost tour in a...
No.
Oh, yeah. I get scared.
Where were you? What ghost tour?
In Edinburgh.
Oh.
Sorry, I got you guys confused with hanging out with my other friends.
Okay.
We're together so much. I was like, it was you guys. I was like, yeah. No. We went on a ghost tour. We went to vaults underground in Edinburgh, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And terrifying. And she told us some really creepy stories. And then we were supposed to go to the graveyard afterward. And I was like, I'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
I'm going to the bar.
Yeah. I was like, fair. Peace out. I'm going to hang out. I'm with you. It was too much. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
I remember being on a ghost tour in Williamsburg, Virginia, and I'm pretty sure I remember looking, there was like a weird, really bright dot in the sky that I kept like seeing, and like out of the corner of my eye, when I would look, it would like move. And I remember like looking one time and it just zoomed away from me. I was like, am I on a ghost tour and I saw an alien? What just happened?
Oh, sorry, wrong genre.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I don't remember the ghost tour at all, because I was just like, this fucking alien. It's like, looking at, like, whole night. I remember
aliens like ghost stories too. You know?
Yeah, they're like, what is it? Tell me about it. Oh, yeah, ghost aliens.
That's you probably turn into an alien after you're a ghost.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that's the theory. It's like, sure. You know, a lot of if you believe in like reincarnation and stuff, it's like with a lot of like numerology and stuff, if you are like an early number, the thing is that you are like a being from another planet that's chosen to like inhabitat here. Mm-hmm. And then you like, that's why like ones in numerology are fucking freaks all the time, because they're just like, what's this world? Let's do everything and have a blast. Yeah. It's like a cool.
How far
like
into this world do you guys think you are?
Like reincarnation,
yeah, like numerology wise, like if you had to give yourself a number.
I feel like I'm pretty young.
That's how many lives you've lived?
Yeah, like how old your soul is. I don't know if that's exactly what numerology is.
I mean, I remember basically. I got my like lives read once, and it seemed like I'd been around for a minute, but
yeah, you get like, and it's like every thing you're supposed to have learned, like you have a different challenge in every life as you go on, basically.
I feel quite young.
I'm like Liv Tyler in Lord of the Rings. I'm like the last born before the end days, you know? Yeah. I'm fresh.
For sure.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like a freshie too.
Yeah. No, I know I'm on 11, so it's like I know I'm like one of the last ones.
Okay.
Which is cool, because 11 is also like in this world, also like you don't, karma doesn't apply to you as an 11, because you've like basically you've done it all. So I knew whatever the fuck I
want.
Wait,
karma doesn't apply to you? Oh, because you're not going to come back.
No, I can come back, but like as from an 11 on, basically like you've learned all of the shit that you like you've learned all of your karmic lessons that you need to. So now it's
just hanging out.
Yeah, now it's like observance and like helping where you want to help. But like karma doesn't affect you anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize so there was a limit to karma.
Me too.
Yeah.
You're like even like new modern. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm trying to think of like a modern faux pas or something of like not texting somebody back. It's like, yeah, that's not part of the karmic cycle.
Yeah,
you know?
Doesn't matter to me.
Like that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
Do 11s still have to recycle?
You can if you want to. You can choose to or not. But you come back as like 22nd or as 22s or 33s as it goes on. Yeah.
I don't know about my karma. I just feel like I'm very young. Like I wasn't even stoned the other day. I was just in the shower and I just started tripping out on a droplet of water. I was just like, I mean, like, I'm just very, like, I'm just young.
But maybe you just didn't think about water that much in your past life.
No, but I mean, that's just kind of how I, like, go through the world. I'm, like, very dog-like. Right. I'm very, like, everything feels new to me.
Yeah, yeah. We have to take a break, but we'll be back. We'll figure out Tessa's number.
We are back. I'm Tess.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs. We're with Steven. AKA Keyboard Cat.
Yeah.
Another life.
So we found out a lot on the break. Well, first of all, Steven was reincarnated from Keyboard Cat.
Yes.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Because Keyboard Cat died the same year that I was born. So I feel like it just works.
I truly love that. That's
now,
beautiful.
I know you love cats.
Yes.
But do you feel feline?
I think so at times.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think so at times. I think just certain aspects, you know, of like, I think the idea of like, you know, cats, we like cats because they want you to earn their love and all that stuff. I think I can relate to that aspect of it at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And that's the only aspect. No.
Well, and also they want you to earn their love, but then like, I have cat fever so bad right now and Sean won't let me get one. And then I grew up with cats, but like a cat snuggle, they want you to earn it. But then like the love they have to give is like so deep.
Yeah. No, it's I appreciate it. I'm always grateful for when my cat wants to snuggle with me.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Of course.
So thank you. Thank
and,
you
then, and then what about when a feral cat starts to pay attention to you?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Or you go over to somebody's house and then the cat like comes to you Wipes immediately. You. And then somebody's like, oh my God, like my cat never comes out when people are here. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, that feels so good.
Yeah. Yes.
My, yeah, my cat's up in my shit, man. He won't leave me alone.
Right. That's perfect.
I got it. I have a different one now.
No, no, I know.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
Than the one that you met. But yeah, I don't know. But he's just amazing. He's like, if I'm cooking, he has to be right there. Mm-hmm. He just always has to be like around. And it's pretty sweet.
That's what you want, is awesome. A codependent animal.
Oh, I'm in. He sat on my lap this morning. I was like, well, I can't do anything now. I was going to work on my computer and it was too far away.
I'll go to like such extreme, like if Garth lays on my chest, I'm like, Sean, can you please bring me a glass of water?
Yeah, that's it.
This is where he wants
to be. Decided, they know that you need to take a break.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's, I mean, even just because I just working weird hours and stuff, there's definitely times where Penny Lane will like come up and like go in my office chair and be like, hey, like it's time for bed kind of thing. That's like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Oh, that's so cute.
She's probably just like, turn off the fucking light. I need to go to bed, you know?
Aw, little cutie.
Yeah.
Penny Lane's a good name for cat.
Because she was my mom's cat. And then she also had another cat named Rocky Raccoon. So then my sister's friend took Rocky and then I took Penny Lane. But it was just like the Beatles cats.
Those are great kitty names.
I love that.
I might steal that for the animal shelter, actually.
I think, and you could even have like Dear Prudence.
Yeah, you could just have
Sexy Sadie.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Something? No.
Eleanor.
Something,
yeah. Eleanor Rigby.
Eleanor Rigby.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. 64. It's my favorite cat.
Michelle.
Yeah.
That's
really cute.
Yeah. Should we do a lady prom?
Let's do it.
Send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. Also, if you're in our Facebook group, a lot of people post theirs in there.
Yeah.
And then there's a group discussion. Mm-hmm. It's Lady to Lady Podcast if you look it up on Facebook. So go check us out there.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Lady problems.
Do you have them?
This is actually one from the Facebook group. Okay. Hi, everyone. I have a lady problem I would like some advice on. In September, I was the maid of honor for my best friend's wedding. Leading up to the wedding, I wasn't a huge part of planning anything, really, as the bride did most things with her mom and wanted to keep everything a surprise for everything, me included. The night went off super well, or so I thought. The happy couple went on a week-long camping moon, but ended up coming back halfway due to poor weather. Through that week, I intentionally tried to limit my interaction with her. Normally, we're Snapchatting throughout the entire day, as it was her honeymoon. I thought I was being respectful. But then I was accused of, quote, never telling her anything when I told her I'd been in constant contact with one of the groomsmen since the wedding, who I've had a history with. When she returned home early, she then let me know that I disappointed her as a maid of honor and that I was never there when she needed me at all. And all I cared about that night was the said groomsmen. In my defense, me and her bridesmaids stayed super close to her all day, minus sneaking away to decorate their bedroom when they were returning at the end of the night. After the ceremony, when it was the family picture time, we still stayed close, but at this point, she was getting a little snippy with us. She brought her food and went inside to mingle. I spent about 80% of my time on the dance floor, dancing with her new in-laws and her family. The end of the night, when they had already left, was when I spent most of the time with the groomsmen in question. Then another few days later, I was told I owed an apology to her mom and sister for hoarding all the wedding party's drink tickets. I told her I was hurt she didn't come to me to get my side, which was me and the bridesmaid did drink runs for the entire head table and her parents a couple times, which literally ate up most of the tickets. When it came time to hit the dance floor, I handed out the rest of the tickets to the groomsmen since my dress didn't have pockets and thought nothing else about it. Now it's been a month and a half or so since the wedding. We've only seen each other once since then, and I was invited to Thanksgiving at their place. We didn't speak a whole lot. Anytime I've suggested we do something, I met with one of two responses. Either she can't because they didn't want to spend money, or she can't because she has to clean. We barely have had any conversations like we used to, and when I tell her things, her replies are often kind of negative for no reason. Example, this morning I showed her my apartment covered in boxes and told her my landlord conveniently just told me they want to come take pictures for the realtor, and her reply was that it was my responsibility and it would be rude for me not to clean it. Well, obviously I was going to clean it and that wasn't the issue at all. Sorry, it's kind of a lot. I just don't know what to do. If I should back off and give her space or what. Also, in the last few months, I've dealt with a lot of anxiety and depression, which I don't think she's had an experience with or with anyone dealing with those issues, so she's not very empathetic towards it and just tells me I need to start thinking differently. The whole situation is stressing me out. I don't want to lose her, but I feel like I can't do anything right by her right now.
Ooh, bummer. Man, that's hard.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I just feel like she's being a bitch.
Yeah.
For yeah. real.
First
the bride.
Of all, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have expected anyone to text me. I didn't really take a long honeymoon, but like, yeah, when you're away, I don't think anyone expects...
Yeah,
you to be available.
It's like yeah. that's the whole idea is they're getting a break from everyone.
Yeah,
and you're like, taking a few days to yourself.
Yeah.
Of course.
And if you wanted to be all weird about the drink tickets, then like that's on you. I don't know. I mean, like all this.
Also, fuck them for having drink tickets at the fucking wedding.
Open bar or nothing.
Yeah, straight up. Fuck off, man.
I hate to say it, but straight up.
Yeah.
And yeah. So and if you're going to not have open bar and you're going to have drink tickets, then the chips are going to fucking fall where they fall.
Those tickets are going to fall where
every
they fall,
person
baby.
For themselves.
Yes.
And she was doing. Drink runs for your family. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, she's being, I think, straight up, she's being shitty. Yeah. There's no way around it. At least, I don't know. Maybe if she told us her side, we would hear something different. But
yeah.
It sounds
my
like
theory
she's
is
being shitty.
She's not happy about how something went and you were a scapegoat to her.
That makes sense.
You know? She can't get mad at her new husband or her family or whatever the fuck. And she's just like, oh, yeah, well, it's all her fault instead.
Yeah.
You know?
It just sounds like something else.
Yeah.
Almost that it's. But it's that's this is how it's manifesting or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it's always that I always just assume people want space, but then those people then sometimes those people are like, oh, you left me alone, you didn't, and it's like, oh no, I thought this was the protocol. Like you're on your home. So it seems like it's almost something else.
And I also don't. I mean, I don't have anybody who I text all day every day. Maybe if I was dating somebody, but not like a friend. I don't have anybody.
No, and when someone tries to do that to me, I'm like, I don't have time. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
like,
I
just don't like have that boundary because I'm just not in a place in my life where I can be like texting constantly.
No.
Yeah. So that seems. I guess I don't. I guess thinking about it that way, I could see where it feels weird that you guys didn't contact each other for a few days. But like that's just so odd to me to feel pissed about that.
No, yeah, it's also it's like we said, it's extenuating circumstances. It's the week after your fucking wedding. Be with your new husband. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And even at the wedding, it's odd that she was pissed that you were around because I don't know. At my wedding, I was like maybe a couple minutes with every single person, and
how are you paying attention?
It sounds like she's really judgy about you hooking up with this guy again.
Yeah,
that's what it might
I think. And there's a lot wrapped up in that.
And then if the guy is friends with the husband, maybe she's got some weird.
She's probably like, you made my wedding about you because you fucked one of the things. By the way, that's what happens at weddings.
Oh my god, that's what you hope for.
Yeah,
people fucked at my wedding, honestly.
You're like, this is supposed to be the happiest day of my life, but I hope other people are having
exactly
perfect fucking situation. For everyone.
Yeah.
That's so dumb. I mean, like, the bridesmaid and the groomsman, like, that's a tale as old as time.
Yeah, that's like what happens.
Come on.
To me, that makes it sound like this is the kind of bride that, like, this, like, the wedding is like one of the happiest days of your life for sure, but also this is has to be it.
Do you know
what I mean? Where it's like there's so much pressure on that day. That it's like, if everything wasn't perfect and that happened, that took away from me. Like, this is like the only day that she's ever been the center of attention ever. You know what I mean? Like those kind of brides where you're like,
And so kind of weird to be like hanging on to this after the wedding too. I mean, I understand maybe her blood sugar was low. She's stressed. She got snippy day of. Let's give her a pass.
Fine.
Oh, yeah.
Fine.
But to be holding on to this like months later, maybe it is to do with the dude.
It sounds like it. Yeah. Like you're really, but I have heard shit like this happening at weddings. Like for some reason people have falling outs and like it's never the same again. So I don't know what the fuck's going on, but.
Yeah. It's such a. I mean, it's just like such a like a.
Everything's so high.
This is a peak moment, and so sometimes that can break things or put things to
Well, and I think some people like see getting married sometimes as like, and then I close the door on all of the things before, and this is what I am now, and like my family is my family, and you didn't treat me perfectly, so I'm a. Wife now. I don't have time for this.
I'm a wife. I have to clean or I don't have enough money for that.
Yeah.
That's her response. That's so weird that that's her response. Everything.
It really is like an algorithm of a wife.
Yeah, seriously. It's so lame.
I don't think I've ever like not done something because I had to clean. If anything, I get home and I'm like embarrassed because I haven't cleaned for, you know, a day, like a few days or a week or something.
I use that as an excuse when it's someone I really don't want to hang out with.
Yeah.
I mean, cleaning is obviously only for avoidance.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If you really want to be doing something, you'll be doing that aside from cleaning.
Yes, exactly.
So I guess now, I mean, I just feel like, I don't even know what you can do. I just feel like if she comes around, she comes around.
Yeah.
I mean, I always hope space, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe she can be like, wait, why was that so mean to my maid of honor? Like, that seems like it's supposed to be a person you're really close with. And it seems like they were because they talked and snapped every day and stuff. And
Especially if you're going through anxiety and depression, it's like this kind of person is obviously just going to make you feel worse. All you're going to do is dwell on what the fuck's going on with her. Yeah. And it's not worth it. She's being shitty to you. She's not being a good friend.
Yeah. I would tell her she needs to start thinking differently.
What the fuck?
Throw her words back at her. Just be like, you need to start thinking differently about this relationship. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's maybe worth, you know, being honest with her about the ffact that you don't appreciate her behavior. And, you know, you've been basically, don't call her a bitch, but, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe call her a bitch. Actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Just you've been shitty.
Yeah.
Just heads up. I don't appreciate it. And let her, so that it's not just her trying to figure out what's going on.
Literally, the honeymoon's over, honey.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I don't know if she's going to try to figure out what's going on because it sounds like she's trying to fade out.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think if I would probably just be like peace with this kind of person and just like not take the time to figure it out.
Which I know feels crazy when you're super close to them and like that's.
Yeah.
It's a huge breakup. You know? And without, if you don't officially do the breakup, then it is that,
then
like,
that's weird.
Did anything happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you almost do, probably, if it's that serious. I mean, obviously, it is a pretty serious friendship if you are her maid of honor. So maybe it is about having an honest conversation with her.
Yeah. But if she, like, won't hang out with her.
Yeah, it almost seems like it's already starting to happen. I mean, this almost seems like a friendship where they saw each other a lot and did all that stuff. And it's, like, the fact that it has completely...
Yeah.
Already, it wasn't like they started immediately hanging out again and they were just mean... Or this person was mean to the writer in her.
Exactly. But. Or, like, she, like, knows that that's the conversation that'll happen. She's like, no, I had to clean. Like, that's why she's cleaning. Because she, like, knows there's, like, a confrontation of some kind coming. Because her behavior is unexcusable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is it like a...
Dump her.
Is it like a writing her, like a mess, like a letter, like type situation, do you think?
I mean, I think we've given this advice before, but it's definitely worth writing it all out.
At least for yourself.
For yourself.
Yeah.
Which you kind of have here, but like to her. Mm-hmm. And then, see if you want to clean that up and send it to her or not, maybe.
What if you married that groomsman?
Yes. And then don't make her be your maid of honor.
Yeah. Don't even invite her to the wedding.
Prank.
Yeah.
I mean, is she dating the groomsman now?
She didn't say.
Or did they just hook up?
It sounds like they had like a history of some kind and they hooked up like that night. But,
whatever.
Which is like, it's fine. It's a fucking wedding. We are the only ones at our wedding that will have sex tonight. Like, that's such that's so weird. Who gives a shit?
It sounds like what, and I'm just projecting, but it sounds like maybe it wasn't good when they hooked up.
Yeah.
And people are annoyed with them for doing it again or something. That's kind of what I'm guessing. Like,
this guy's bad for
it. Was not a good situation. And now they're like, oh, God damn it. What are you guys fucking doing? I don't want to deal with this.
I mean, that's potentially
the case. But it's like, you've got to allow people to have a little tumble in the bushes at a wedding.
Of course.
It's a wedding.
And obviously putting all this on that.
Flowers and candles
putting
everywhere.
Putting all this on that would be so shitty. But it's just I get this like weird
I can see that. Like, this guy was drama and everyone had to deal with it.
Yeah. Potentially. Yeah, for
but
sure.
But it's like, you made him a groomsman, so.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's in the mix. Sorry about it. Yeah.
He's in the mix and I'm on his dicks. Sorry.
Spooky.
No, she sounds like a real bee. Sorry about it.
So our advice is sorry. No,
I
think maybe talk, maybe letter, message, something like that.
Yeah.
Lay out your concerns. But also fuck her.
Yeah. She's being shitty. Like, she should, I would assume, just be like, happy she's married, the wedding's over, like settling into a new life, being just chill, like the next. Don't
you would hope. There's so much people that decide to be chill and you hope would be would settle into being chill.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like a lot of people, they put so much pressure on that day when that is like the only big hurrah they ever get, that like if it wasn't exactly what they wanted, then they resent it because they never get like that. fucking moment again.
Yeah, it's never gonna. Yeah, it's never.
Yeah,
gonna be.
They're never gonna have like a cool show or like, you know, like something else that like gives them that kind of feeling or whatever. So it's like, yeah, yeah. She sounds like she sucks. I'm sorry. I don't know.
All right. Well, Stephen, thanks for doing the show.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. This has been so much fun.
Yay. Yeah. Do you want to tell people they can find you online, find your shows?
Sure. Stephen Ray Morris on all the Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. Yeah. See Jurassic Right, the Purrcast, Popular Music, My Favorite Murder, obviously. Yeah.
What's that one?
My Favorite Murder.
My Favorite Murder?
Little true crime thing that's happening.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, those are the places. And yeah, thanks again for having me on.
Thank you. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.